It's 12 o'clock and it's time for Salute Your Sports with
Tom Castleman.
The Nationals are shutting down Steven Strasburg because of his innings limit. Insane. Because of his Tommy John surgery. You know, they have, what, like 8-game lead in the division?
If they had given
him rest throughout the season instead of just shutting him down at the end, they'd still have him. They're going to mortgage a potential World Series this year for a future World Series that might never, ever come down the road.
Common Enchev.
I will say this now. I have never been more confident in my life after 2 games into a college football season of a national champion.
I think
Alabama is far and away the best team in the country. That I don't think USC even has a chance. I would be just mind blown if USC or anyone beats Alabama.
And Drew Brackett.
Can I pick real quick?
Sure.
I'm picking Tennessee. First.
Okay.
Tennessee. Turn that off. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Salute Your Sports. I am Matthew Terry, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell. And when James told me he was going to play Salute Your Sports' old intro for the show, I didn't realize exactly how old that was, because that was name dropping people that we don't even know.
Epic though.
It is epic.
It's the most epic intro that's left on DJ Megasig.
And I propose that we make our own intro, except putting our actual name so that people actually know who we are, instead of the three people whose names I don't remember right now.
No, just like switch our names, leaving all the sound bites from the older people.
I'm fine with that. I do want to mention during that old intro, something came up that made me very happy as James plays our new name dropping sound bite that we discovered roughly half an hour ago. That one of the gentlemen who used to host the show mentioned how the Nationals were shutting down Steven Strasburg, which was like 2011. 2010, so seven years ago.
Yeah, that intro comes from 2012, so the show was only 2 years old at that point.
Yeah, so...
Just a baby show.
So 2011, when Strasburg got shut down, and they mentioned that they're mortgaging that World Series for a World Series that may never come in the future. And as of right now, the Washington Nationals still have not won a playoff series since that air date. In the Bryce Harper era, or in the entire existence of the Washington Nationals franchise, they did not win a playoff series. So he was right.
I'll be darned.
And of course, it's just going to look even worse if Bryce Harper walks in free agency this offseason. So I wanted to mention that. They talked about how Alabama was already the national champions, which I already agree with in college football, as James puts on his fake Ray-Bans that he found in the studio.
And I think what they're getting at was the year that Mizzou got suplexed by Alabama, literally on the field.
That was 2014, dude.
No, that was 2012.
No, it wasn't.
2012, look it up.
Wait, what are you talking about, suplexed on the field, like destroyed at Faro?
Destroyed at Faro.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the SEC championship when Russell Hansborough got suplexed.
No, then it happened twice. It must have happened twice because...
Yeah, Russell Hansborough got like dropped on his head in 2014.
Because Henry Josie also got suplexed too.
Okay,
it might have been Kendall Lawrence. It was one of the two of them in 2012.
Well,
the very first time Mizzou played Alabama in the rain at Faro Field.
That 2012 season, I mean 2011 and 2012, Alabama won the national championship. Alabama won it in 2015, 2017. They're probably going to win it again this year unless someone conjures up enough devil magic to counter up the devil magic that is Tua Tagovailoa.
Mizzou in 2 weeks?
Yeah, no. Even then, that wouldn't stop Alabama. So, Mizzou football, like you mentioned, James, we're going to talk about them a lot on this show. The big game against Georgia, rather controversial game as some events in that game went down. We're going to talk about that. No game upcoming for Mizzou this Saturday. It is a bye week before they travel to South Carolina.
At least they can't lose this week.
Yes.
Can't win either.
And Mario McKinney announced his commitment on Monday to the University of Missouri. Big 4-star point guard out of St. Louis. So we're going to talk about that. Going to give a bit of an outlook on Mizzou basketball as that's approaching in about a month. They're going to tip off at Iowa State. Back show. Of course, we've got Or Nah. We're going to end things with a statement of the week at the end of it. But to start things off right now, Mizzou football versus the Georgia Bulldogs happened this past Saturday. Tigers ended up losing by 14 points, 29-43 is the final score against the second-ranked Georgia Bulldogs in a game that had a lot of Mizzou fans feeling a lot better than they did after the Purdue game.
I don't know if as a Mizzou fan I can feel better after that because
you
after
feel
that,
better about the team or
there were so many opportunities that they blew in that game that they should have won it or not won it but at least led.
That's yeah, I mean true, but they're also
I don't feel good about that as a fan.
I feel better about that than they did after the Purdue game when David Blatt threw for 560.
Well,
I feel
I think
better
that,
looking
I
at
think
the season.
That was an outlier. There's some extraneous factors there with Purdue.
Or like a Blatt liar.
Going to that game. Oh, ba-dum-tsh. Hey, that'd be a good soundbite.
What?
The drum. Like, oh, yeah. Like a comedian drum.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Blatt liar.
This is a discussion for after the show.
Rottweiler.
But
Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
Anyways, what I'm getting at is more of how Mizzou fans were very pessimistic after the Purdue game. And seeing them hang with Georgia, have opportunities to win, argue that they could have won that game, makes people feel a lot better about the rest of the season afterwards. Do you agree with that?
Unless they lose another game like that, which with this team, who knows?
There are going to be very few games where Mizzou loses because of a play where forward progress should have been stopped, which resulted in a direct touchdown for the opposing team. A play where a wide receiver, according to most people, clearly drops the ball before he walks into the end zone.
Hey, Chris
and Mizzou
Mitchell,
picks it up.
What was that GoFundMe campaign you wanted to
launch? Oh, yeah. Breaking news. Okay. As a representative of the University of Missouri, I am starting a GoFundMe to give Faurot Field some pylon cams.
Yes.
So please help our, please so help our Tiger. It's very sick. It needs pylon cams.
There's so many things that if they had just gone the other way, Mizzou would have won that game. And I feel Mizzou won't be that unlucky from here on out.
Oh, on the contrary.
Okay.
It's Mizzou football. They'll find a way to be unlucky.
That was one of the unlucky.
By the way,
Mizzou got no breaks in that game.
You know that dropped touchdown where the Georgia wide receiver flipped out like right before crossing the goal line? Also in the north end zone. We can add that to the list.
Sure.
Add it to the list.
In stone that we have here in the basement of the MU Student Center.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, outside of those like crazy point swings where it could have gone in Mizzou's favor, like the defense played pretty solid.
Yeah, Mizzou matched Georgia on the field, I feel, aside from those mistakes.
No, the defense was there. Georgia's offense did not win that game for them.
No,
because Mizzou's offense lost it.
Mizzou's offense and special teams spotted Georgia. I'll give them 17 points that the offense or special teams, I'm counting the Albert O fumble, the dropped or the blocked punts, and Jonathan Johnson tipping a ball into a Georgia defender's hands to set up Georgia with a drive at like the 5-yard line, which the defense got a 3-and-out off of. That's 17 points. And Tucker McCann's so-called missed field goal, which
it was pretty
like
high,
it went
but it looked
in.
Like it was in.
So many little things could have gone Mizzou's way that I feel better about that because I expected them to get stomped. We all did.
Yeah, I expected
and they
them
didn't.
To
the
crazy.
Team played well, and that's what I'm looking at. Even if the result didn't go their way.
Yeah, even if Georgia kept Mizzou at like arm's length throughout like most of the game, I figured it'd just be like one arm's length, another arm's length, another arm beyond that.
And then
it's like,
a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, then a 10-foot pole away from Mizzou like the whole time. But no, it was actually pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, Drew Lock didn't have his best of days at quarterback. Emmanuel Hall was shadowed the entire game by DeAndre Baker and got nothing. But the team still performed when it mattered. They got 22 second-half points. Lock ran for another touchdown. The team played well. Just things didn't go their way, and sometimes that happens, and it's unfortunate that it's against a team like Georgia, the number 2 team in the country.
I feel like Drew Lock is starting to sort of like break that sort of that sort of like a narrative that like, oh, he can play fight against like, I don't know, like paltry defenses, but once he plays like a real defensive front, he just like
his pants or whatever. Locke still completed less than 50% of his passes.
Yeah, I mean, it was still...
Well, that was not his fault. That was his receivers. He was... I don't know.
He went 23 for 48. Not 20... 26 of those are not his receiver's fault. Drew didn't have a good day throwing the ball. One interception was.
Albert Okwuegbunam's was.
What are you talking about?
Albert Okwuegbunam got the ball stripped away from him. That's not Drew Locke's fault.
No, but I'm also...
They call that a fumble?
Yes, it was a fumble because it hit the ground. I'm talking about Jonathan. His one interception was Jonathan Johnson tipping the ball into George's hands.
Oh, I was kind of in the Albert Okwuegbunam drop as a interception. Because wasn't that a weird play for Missouri to start off the game, too? After Georgia was going...
Georgia drove down the field. And Christian Holmes got a pick.
Yeah. And but it was the exact same way that Albert Okwuegbunam was...
No, because Okwuegbunam had the ball, ran for about 4 yards, got stood up, and was like...
It was stripped. The ball never touched the ground, did it?
Yes, it did.
Chris, it hit the ground. Did the ball touch the ground?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Well, either way, in no way is it an interception because it was clearly a catch.
That's fair.
Because Alberto ran for about 5 yards afterwards. And he got stood up. His forward progress was stopped for about a half a second. The official should have called it right there. And then it got stripped, hit the ground or not. Georgia picked it up and ran it for a touchdown. That's not on Drew Locke. What's on Drew Locke is completing roughly 47% of his passes, not throwing a touchdown.
Well, he also faced a much better secondary than what he's faced through the first three teams.
Yeah, and Hall was banged up. But Drew,
he was in the doghouse.
Even if it was a better secondary, Locke did not have a good game at quarterback. And we should be able to admit that, even being the Mizzou fans that we are.
Yeah, it's
just because circumstances didn't go his way doesn't mean he had a good game.
No, he did not have a good game.
Yeah, I was gonna. What was I trying to say? Oh yeah, like it wasn't good. Terry's right, but I think, at least for me, he had a lot better game than I think he was going to have. Like, I expected him to get, like, 100% shredded, but he kept it together mostly for, like, 47% of his passes. It's better than I thought he would. He's not quite there yet, but I think he's slowly, like, climbing his way up to, like, being, like, a competitive quarterback against, like, top SEC defenses. So this was a promising showing.
Yeah.
Not, like, great, but promising.
Granted, he doesn't have much time to improve. He's a senior, and he only has two big games coming up. Unless you count a bowl game if Mizzou makes it there.
Kentucky, I think, is going to be a tougher opponent than one.
Yeah, I'm thinking Kentucky and Alabama.
Oh, that's what you're thinking, those two? South Carolina is going to be an awfully hard one, too.
South Carolina
is not going to be a stroll in the park.
I mean, it won't, but they haven't shown much this year. So far.
Yeah, they're like
But if Missouri continues their trend like they had last year, which is winning games against teams that are above 500 versus teams that are below 500, well, then they're going to be lucky to win six games this year.
No, they will. They've already won three.
They'll probably win six or seven.
Mizzou can win four of their next eight games. Mizzou can go 500 from here on out. With the team that played against Georgia, that defense... The running game that Mizzou had, 37 carries, 172 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, the running game was also pretty good.
And with Drew Locke having a subpar day for his standards with only 221 yards, less than 50% completion, no touchdowns and a pick, if he brings that up against defenses that aren't top in the country with secondaries that don't have multiple 5-star players, they're only going to have to face one of those later on this season when they go to Alabama. This Mizzou team can still win 8 or 9 games. There's only one game left on the schedule that I'm pointing to and being like, Mizzou can't win that game. Or
Alabama.
90% will not win that game. It's Alabama.
I give it like a 99.99999%.
Yeah, something like that.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance in there.
There's a chance.
Hey, how about that soundbite?
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, but South Carolina's... like 2-1 right now. Their two victories are over Vanderbilt and Coastal Carolina. Vanderbilt's a good win. Any conference win is good. But South Carolina, when Georgia came a knocking, lost by 24 at home.
Yeah, they got cream.
And granted, the transitive property of football is something that I'm strongly against, but South Carolina did not look good in that game.
We need this for Georgia. I've been waiting to drop this all day.
Then why didn't you when we were talking about Georgia?
Because you just talked about Georgia curb stomping South Carolina.
Okay. But anyways, as the awkward silence fills the room and fills the airwaves, as you can feel the tension. between myself and producer James Stanley.
I said bye week.
I already aired my grievances against him at the end of the show last week. So I'm going to hold my tongue right now. And so while we're letting that tension settle, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we want to outlook the rest of the season for the Tigers so far. We're going to talk about the season to this point for Mizzou, how they ended up 3-1, what you liked, what if you didn't like, and predictions for the season from here on out. And also Mizzou basketball. It's a bit of some recruiting news. But you're listening to Salute Your Sports, and we'll be right back.
KCOU would like to thank 1-to-1 Print Shop for their support. 1-to-1 outfitted our entire staff with custom performance polos and t-shirts, and they can do the same for your business or organization. To learn more, visit them at 1610 Paris Road or go to their website at 1to1printshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com. Thank you, 1-to-1, for supporting KCOU Columbia 88.1 FM.
This is Mac DeMarco. This next song is going out to all you frat boys out there.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me, it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
KCOU would like to thank the School of Missouri Contemporary Ballet for their support. At 110 Orr Street, the School of Missouri Contemporary Ballet offers professionally taught classes in genres ranging from classical ballet to jazz. Right now, for just $30, teens and adults can try unlimited open classes for 2 weeks. For more information, check them out on Facebook at School of Missouri Contemporary Ballet or on Twitter and Instagram at School of MCB. That's School of MCB.
Culture, KCOU, society, KCOU, you, me, togetherness, equality, eternity, KCOU, deep space, travel and leisure, KCOU, magazine subscription, ends eventually, just as all of us do.
KCOU 88.1 FM, Columbia, Missouri.
Whether it be t-shirts for your charity event or jerseys for your intramural team, let 1-to-1 Print Shop handle your custom apparel needs. Need some inspiration in crafting a logo or design? Follow them on Facebook and Instagram at 1-to-1 Print Shop and check out some of their latest work. Or check out their website at 1to1printshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com. 1-to-1 Print Shop is the place to get custom apparel in Columbia.
Everybody, welcome back. Salute Your Sports here on this cool Wednesday afternoon in Columbia, Missouri. I am Matthew Terry, James Stanley, the one Rick rolling all of you, and Chris Mitchell over here talking about Mizzou football right now. Mizzou coming off their 43-29 loss to Georgia. The Tigers have started the season 3-1, 0-1 in conference, and to this point, this is about what people predicted for the team. A few people, myself included, may have pegged that Purdue game that happened last week as a loss. The Tigers did stick through there. And now 3-1, and things are looking pretty good for Mizzou.
Yeah, this is probably like the, when we were like going over like predictions for the season, this is probably the best case scenario, because I don't think anyone pegged that Georgia game down as a win because it's Georgia. But you got a game like Purdue, that was kind of a toss-up. And then even some people thought Wyoming was going to be a toss-up because their defense is like...
Yeah, I thought that'd be a lot closer than it was.
Yeah, but no. Mizzou really flexed his offensive muscles in the first three games. So, yeah, they're off to a pretty solid start.
I mean, there's a really good chance that this team could theoretically... I mean, if you're going to lose any other game the rest of the year against ranked opponents, it's Alabama.
Yeah.
So theoretically, this team should be able to go 10-2.
Yeah, this team could
theoretically.
Easily, yeah.
Realistically, I think they're going to win 7 or 8 games.
Yeah. The disappointing part for Mizzou is that they're pretty much already out of SEC East contention with this loss to Georgia, because that would require, say, Mizzou is going to lose to Alabama. There's no way.
So Georgia would have to lose 3 games throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, Georgia would have to lose 3. You assume one of those losses would be Kentucky. So Kentucky's now got to lose 2.
There have been crazier things to happen, though, with the SEC East.
Yes, and I agree, but this Georgia team is not going to lose 3 games. This is a better Georgia team than what we saw in 2014 when that exactly happened, when Georgia lost 2 and they weren't supposed to. Because... Yeah, Mizzou doesn't really have any mulligans. This was their mulligan game, and it's pretty much gone now. So barring some unlikely
circumstances. So it was the SEC East championship game is what you're saying.
This was, I mean, there's also going to be Georgia-Kentucky later on this season where that's going to be more like a true SEC East championship game because a bit later on, because Kentucky also, I believe, hasn't lost yet. They're looking really good.
Pretty sure they're like 4-0 right now.
Catlanta might be a thing this year. People have been begging for it for the past 2 years. But let's get some Catlanta this year. I'm down for Kentucky in the SEC championship game to lose by 40 to Alabama.
That'd be pretty fun.
I'm down for it.
They're a fun team.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I hope Mizzou beats them when they come to Columbia.
Oh, they are coming to Columbia. I thought that was a road game.
In October. No, it is not.
Oh, you and Connor McCann be on that call.
That is correct. I am on that call. Quick go plug. Me. Air horn sounds. Wait for James to play it. Come on. There we go. How dare you? How dare you disgrace my favorite thing in the world? And the sound like of the air horn.
Sound like the exit stage music for like Mario World. You know, the.
Looking at Kentucky's schedule, I just want to go off this little side rant for a bit. They do have to play Texas A&M in the West. It's going to be a very tough game. But I believe Kentucky can do it.
Is it ever an easy time in the SEC West?
No.
Not really.
Well, I guess it maybe if
Mizzou. Unless you're playing like, Ole Miss. A Mizzou Ole Miss game this year would finish 70-70.
It would be a lot like.
No one could cover A.J. Brown, and no one in Ole Miss's secondary could stop Emmanuel Hall.
Landshark.
It would be fun.
Yeah, that would be a whole lot like that Ole Miss-Texas Tech game earlier this year.
Yeah. Except hopefully with a little bit more scoring on the other side.
Actually, that'd probably make it more like Texas Tech Houston.
Yeah.
That game scored even more points than Texas Tech Ole Miss.
So, Mizzou going on for the rest of the season. They're already 3-1. They've lost their game against Georgia. Their two toughest games, supposedly, are coming up next. South Carolina and Alabama, barring that Kentucky game on October 27th. What do you see Mizzou's record, overall and conference, to finish out the year?
That's a good question. Let's see. They got Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina, Bama. I think 2 of those could be losses. For me, South Carolina is still like a toss-up, even though they haven't played that great against in conference play, and Bama as well. Yeah. But besides that, I think Kentucky's pretty winnable, even though I really like their offense.
The thing that makes me feel better about the Kentucky game for Mizzou is that it's at home.
It is at home.
And Drew Locke, at least in the last few years, has played better at Furrow. He does channel the crowd energy really well at home.
Ah, here we go. Here's the schedule.
And I'm thinking, at least personally, that Mizzou goes 9-3 to end the season.
Arkansas at home? Okay, yeah, that's another one.
Yeah. 9-3 for Mizzou. They finish 5-3 in conference. They lose to Alabama and one of South Carolina and Florida on the road. That's my prediction. I think they win out at. I think they sweep the remaining home games.
So they win one of the. Yeah, I think that's realistic. I don't know. I don't see them beating Alabama. They'll beat Memphis for sure at home on homecoming.
Definitely. Going through the schedule right now, Kentucky's the next game that's a big toss-up.
I don't think they'll win that I think they'll beat Vanderbilt at home senior day. Well, no, Arkansas senior day. So let's see. That's three more wins over Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Tennessee. There's three. Memphis is four.
Tennessee could get ugly.
Tennessee's going to be – that's going to be an awful game for Tennessee fans.
I think that they realistically win four more games and finish out the season 4-4?
Four more games would be 7-5, 4-4 in conference.
Yeah, so.
I think this seems better than that.
I don't know. I'm sick and tired of having my heart broken, so I'm setting the bar low.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I can feel a medium expectations.
Medium expectations of going 7-5 again and going to the Music City Bowl?
Hey, against like Duke or something.
Exactly.
No, Music City Bowl is too good for them. They'll get like the Liberty Bowl.
No, 7-5 is a good Music City
Bowl. Belk Bowl, baby.
Belk Bowl.
That's right.
Belk Bowl. Oh, my goodness.
Let's go for this Mizzou versus North Carolina State Belk Bowl.
Oh, heck yeah.
Let's just pin Mizzou up against more North Carolina schools that I don't really like.
That would not be fair.
Mizzou versus
home
State.
Home field advantage?
That's right.
There's always a North Carolina team playing in the Belk Bowl, whether it's State, UNC, or Duke.
And what, are we going to say that?
It's one of those three.
What was the Arkansas tight end that, was it Jimmy?
Sprinkle.
Sprinkle, Jeremy Sprinkle.
Yeah.
Got in trouble for stealing stuff.
That Belk Bowl game was against Virginia Tech, which is.
He got in trouble from the Belk Bowl for stealing Belk Bowl stuff.
Yeah, he shoplifted from Belk during the Belk Bowl.
Don't they give you like free merch if you go to the Belk Bowl?
Well, no, that's actually exactly what he did. He was stuffing underwear down his pants or something at like the store during their shopping spree.
Was it Jared Sprinkle? Something like that?
Jeremy Sprinkle.
Jeremy?
So what? Are we going to say that Albert Okwuebenom is going to do that? Are we not?
Nah.
I'm kidding.
Let's not put that evil out there.
They're better. They're better.
Oh, no, they're much better than that.
So much better. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. What are the chances that Albert Okwuebenom declares for the draft at the end of the year?
Oh, he's probably going to have to play a little bit better. He's probably going to have...
See, the thing is, I don't think he has to play that much better. I think if he just continues this pace and does what he did last year...
How horrible...
He still had 81 yards last week.
Right. I think he needs like one more triple-digit like yard game with like a touchdown or two.
Right. Right.
Oh, I think that'll happen at least twice.
Yeah. Right now, if Albert O keeps up his pace and goes on and plays like he did last year, Albert O is the back of the first round tight end. He's the best tight end that's not named Noah Fant. And he might even be better than Fant.
Speaking of Noah Fant, I could be like another like bowl matchup.
Mizzou, Iowa?
Yeah.
Interesting.
If they both Lordy. By the way, why are they commemorating that at Faro? I know it's the 10th anniversary.
What?
Of the they are commemorating the Insight Bowl and then they're commemorating the Alamo Bowl on the Stadium Cups. And Mizzou lost.
10-year anniversary?
Mizzou lost. Well, the Insight Bowl is 2010, so it's not quite. That's eight years.
I don't know.
So it doesn't make any sense to me why that they're commemorating that. And Mizzou lost that game to Iowa.
I'm one of the last people to talk about that. I don't even remember that game.
Same.
So I'm going to let you like stew in your confusion and just like
hey,
despise.
I'm always stewing in my confusion. What are you talking about?
Of course, we always know.
That's
you
the
are,
name
James.
Of Flame Stanley's mixtape. Stewing in my confusion.
Stewing in my confusion.
DJ Confusion.
That's the name of the mixtape of all the songs you play during the show.
Yeah.
And all the leads you have. All the songs that really anger KCRU sports director Josh Neighbors.
Play some Allman Brothers. Turn it off.
So while James figures out more ways to confuse and anger the people of KCRU sports, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk about some Mizzou basketball season coming up. Right before you know it, folks, so stay tuned. Salute your sports. We'll be right back.
Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
By now, you've heard about how much we love to partner with our friends at One-to-One Print Shop for all of our custom apparel needs. We aren't the only ones who have been blown away by them. Every customer who wrote them a review on Google or Facebook gave their One-to-One Print Shop experience 5 stars, and we are confident you will too after working with them. For creative custom apparel at an affordable price and great customer service, check out One-to-One Print Shop at 1610 Paris Road or visit their website at onetoonprintshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com. Tune in Mondays from 10 to midnight for Same As It Ever Was, Donnie T's exploration of avant-garde music from a historical perspective. Discover the cutting-edge music from yesterday that influences the indie rock, hip-hop, and electronica of today. Same As It Ever Was, KCOU's longest-running specialty show.
Looking for a fun night out in Columbia? Check out a concert at Cafe Berlin. Looking for that great brunch after a fun night? Cafe Berlin has you covered for that too. Check out their stacked concert schedule and brunch menu at CafeBerlinComo.com or check them out at 220 North 10th Street. Also, follow them on Twitter and Facebook at Cafe Berlin and on Instagram at CafeBerlinComo.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hello, welcome back. Salute Your Sports. Rubber Band Man playing through.
Was Josh Neighbors the Rubber Band Man?
I don't know. I wonder how he would think of this. Well, depending on the Allman Brothers, because he yelled at you during our break. He actually came in here and started screaming at you. Just like we predicted he would. In spectacular fashion, it was all worth it.
So worth it.
Mizzou basketball coming up soon. Season starting in the middle of November, but some big news for Konzo Martin and company as Mario McKinney, combo guard out of Vachon High School in St. Louis, Missouri, top-ranked player in the Show Me State, committing to play at the Zoo. Big get for what poises to be a big 2019 class for the Missouri Tiger basketball team.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty big. I think they got, after this one, they got like 2 scholarships left, right?
Something
for the 2019-2020
season. They don't have many teams.
Did they lose one with Colin Van Leer? With his retirement, or is he still on scholarship?
He's still on scholarship.
Yeah, I think they're letting that right out.
Yeah, but Mizzou's getting a scholarship back from that, I believe. The NCAA gave him an exception because of he had to medically retire. Because he destroyed his knee.
Hate to see but it.
You know that he and Terrence Phillips were roommates at a Brookside townhomes?
No, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. I knew they were roommates in freshman year in a dorm.
They lived to South?
Yeah, because they lived directly across the hall from myself.
Interesting.
Yes.
All the athletes, Matthew, Terry, and I, we were at South Hall our freshman year.
Yes, that's pretty much how we met.
All the big ones. I was going to say Matthew Terry Jr. Terry Beckner Jr.
Terry Beck. Matthew Terry. I'm not, but.
It's just someone half the size of Terry who still really likes wrestling.
Yeah.
And the Saints.
So the big.
Who dat?
Who dat, baby?
Who dat?
Be the Falcons.
Beat Saints. The Falcons.
So. What?
I'm kidding. I love Drew Brees.
Good, as you should, because he's awesome.
Because he called Chase Daniel the best backup quarterback of all time. Because
he is.
That's correct.
Man keeps getting paid to throw 70 career passes.
Honestly, though, yeah.
Insurance, but, baby.
But anyways, there is one big name that remains out there that Mizzou is in contention for this 2019 class, E.J. Liddell, who's a power forward from Belleville, Illinois, ranked as a 4-star, and he's the top player in the state of Illinois. If Konzo and Company can get Liddell, that could power Mizzou to a top class and propel them into being one of the top teams in the SEC. This year, going to take a small step back, presumably, because they won't have Cassius Robertson. They're getting Jontay Porter back. But they're really gearing up for this 2019 team. The Mizzou depth at guard and in the backcourts going to be something special to watch because they're really not losing anyone aside from Jordan Geis next year. They're still going to have Watson, still going to have Pinson. Now they have Mario McKinney. These Mizzou guards are going to be very fun to watch in the next few years.
Yeah, the thing about McKinney that's like really interesting is like this dude is like freakishly athletic. Like he's like a textbook definition of like a playmaker. Is like you give him time, you give him the ball, you give him some space, he's going to attack the rim like a crazy person. He's going to make plays on defense too.
And Mizzou really lacked that from their point guards this past year because Blake Harris transferred, C.J. Roberts, I believe. I'm blanking on the name. I apologize. The kid who transferred to Texas Tech.
Was it C.J. Roberts?
C.J. something.
It wasn't C.J. Roberts.
Something. Regardless, he was a 4-star point guard who transferred to Texas Tech. And
I feel like this is going to be biting at me.
Yeah, and Terrence Phillips getting dismissed from the team. Mizzou really lacked true playmakers from point guard. They had to rely on Cassius Robertson a lot, who did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out pretty fine.
Yeah. But Mizzou's going to need a lot more of that this year. Torrance Watson and Pinson are both good at that. Having McKinney is going to be really great with that. So these Mizzou guards are going to be very exciting to watch in the coming years.
Yeah, I can see McKinney sort of working on
Frankie Hughes, is that who you're thinking of?
Not in the slightest. His name was CJ something. He transferred last year.
It's not CJ Spiller. He's a football player.
KJ Walton?
No.
Anyway.
These are not neither of the people you mentioned are point guards.
Oh.
And you're also, I saw the article you were looking at. That was for Kim Anderson transfers.
Yikes.
C.J. Roberts.
There were 18 over his career.
It was C.J. Roberts, a Kim Anderson recruit who transferred under Konzo. But regardless, enough of the speculation. Mizzou's guards are going to be really fun. Hopefully, E.J. Liddell can join them in the front court to propel Mizzou into a top team in the SEC like they can because Konzo Martin is doing a very good job of recruiting St. Louis right now.
Yeah, capping off the recruit class of E.J. Liddell would really go a long way for making Mizzou like a top contender in the SEC for not just the year they had Michael Porter Jr. Barely even played. So having them being like consistently like in the conversation for like a powerhouse in the SEC would be, it'd be pretty good, if I do say so myself.
Of course, we're going to go more into Mizzou basketball come towards the end of October, when the team's gearing up to play. But right now, quick run through, because exciting times on the horizon for a Mizzou basketball program that has not seen many in the past 5 years. We're going to take another break. When we come back, Chris Mitchell this week will be hosting Or Nah. This is my moon. Get ready, folks. We'll be right back.
Liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter.
At KCOU, we constantly need custom apparel. Whether it be t-shirts for special events or performance polos for our sports broadcasters, the only place we trust for our apparel needs is One-to-One Print Shop. One-to-One will help your business or organization craft custom apparel at an affordable price. To learn more, go to onetoprintshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com.
think Kid A is probably their best single album. But my favorite individual song is Life in a Glass House, the perfect mixture of harmony and chaos.
Ken Bone, Radiohead, KCOU, 88.1.
KCOU would like to thank the School of Missouri Contemporary Ballet for their support. At 110 Orr Street, the School of Missouri Contemporary Ballet offers professionally taught classes in genres ranging from classical ballet to jazz. Right now, for just $30, teens and adults can try unlimited open classes for 2 weeks. For more information, check them out on Facebook at School of Missouri Contemporary Ballet or on Twitter and Instagram at School of MCB. That's School of MCB.
Welcome back, Salute Your Sports here. I'm Matthew Terry, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell alongside me as we wind down for the last 20 minutes of this program for the day. And right now I'm going to turn it over to co-host Chris Mitchell, who will host this week's edition of Or Nah.
That's right, folks. It's time for Or Nah, Salute Your Sports' favorite game show. What we do is I give these guys a list of names, and they're supposed to tell me if they did something or nah. For today's game, since Mizzou football is on a bye week, we're not going to talk about Mizzou football. Just get that out of here. We can talk about Mizzou basketball. More specifically, home openers. The game today is figuring out which players scored at least 20 points in the home opener.
Ooh, of a Mizzou home opener?
Yeah.
I like this. This is a good one.
Should have saved this for November, but whatever. We're doing it now. We're doing it right now.
Last week we had bowl games, so yeah. Bowl game MVPs.
We're just getting out all of our late season content right now.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it. We'll be plenty of content later.
Anyway. Of course. We'll think of things.
Yeah, why not?
We're creative.
Yeah, sure.
I hope.
Are you sure about that?
No.
You got that lined up?
All right, James, do you have the correct sound bites?
Are you sure about that?
There you go. Hey. You have the correct sound bites ready for this week?
No.
We're doing a round robin vote.
All right.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with the reigning champ. He gets the first question.
Okay. I like this.
Matthew Terry.
Yes, sir.
Did Jontay Porter score at least 20 points in the home opener against Iowa State?
No.
That is correct. I believe he scored like 7 or 8.
Yeah, he didn't. It didn't really break out towards later in the season.
I'm sorry, that was an accident.
James, it's been one question. We have been doing this for a minute.
Just go ahead and give me the L on the next question.
Okay, DJ Redbeard, Flame Stanley. Did Jeremiah Tillman score at least 20 points in the home opener?
Against Iowa State?
Against Iowa State.
I'm going to go with yeah, he did.
Yep. I think he barely hit double digits. He made like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Can you ask me if Michael Porter Jr.?
Why gotta make people sad, James?
Got 20 points more.
Hey. That's a bonus round. Number 3. Okay, let's see. Matt's got 1 point.
Yep.
He got 0. Okay. So, Matthew Terry, you're next. Kevin Puryear, did he score at least 20 points in a Mizzou home opener?
Yes.
That is correct. I believe he scored 21 against Wofford.
Yeah, something like that.
That was a whopper of a game.
Hey.
I'm going to throw something at you.
Okay, so it's 2-0. James, you're on the ropes here early. What's up with that, dude?
It's the way my week's going.
Okay. Okay.
So you can tell how the show is being conducted right now, too.
Up next.
Horribly, like always.
Bottom of the second. James Stanley. Did Jordan Barnett score at least 20 points in the home opener?
In the home opener?
In a home opener.
I'm going with yeah, he has.
Nope. He has here to henceforth or whatever not scored 20 points in a home opener.
I mean, he won. He's off the team now.
Yeah.
He went to the almost went to the NBA. Was waived by the Milwaukee Bucks. Sad deer noises.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Top
of the third.
There we go.
Can you go for all the marbles with this one?
I don't know. You have the number of questions.
I have
Okay. You're supposed to be in charge of that.
Okay, top of the third. Matthew Terry.
Yes, sir.
Chris Mitchell.
Did Frankie Hughes score at least 20 points in a home opener?
Name drop.
Yes, he did.
That is correct.
Wait, can I... I'm sorry. He scored like 22 against Alabama A&M or something like that.
That's right. I have Alabama A&M in parentheses right next to Frankie Hughes.
Yeah, because that was his 1 year at Mizzou, and he broke out that game. We're all like, what? And then he transferred.
Okay.
The story of the Kim Anderson era.
Okay.
Mizzou's fans are excited, and then he transferred. Aww.
Okay, 3-0. James, you need this one to stay in the game.
So what? If I lose it, it's we're done?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, boy.
Actually, we could probably do one more round.
Okay.
Okay. James Stanley, did Jabari Brown score at least 20 points in a home
opener? Jabari Brown. I'm going to go with, yeah, he is. Oh, my goodness.
Nope. Sorry, fam. That's going to be a no for me, dog. I think that about does it.
Wait, how many do you have left?
Let's see. Okay.
How many rounds did you count on?
What is Matthew Terry's magic number?
Okay.
Like Atlanta Braves is down to zero now.
Yeah, it's been down to zero for since Saturday. My Atlanta Braves,
congratulations.
I had six rounds.
Six rounds, it's only 3-0.
Yeah, so.
I could still blow this.
You could still blow this.
My magic number's one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to get one right or James gets one wrong. Okay. I feel confident.
Well, yeah,
in that.
If he gets this right, he wins.
Yeah.
Okay. This is for all the money.
Matthew Terry.
Yes, sir.
Has Jordan Clarkson scored at least 20 points in a home opener?
I am going to go with yes.
He has not.
Oh.
He's gotten close, I think.
Don't call it a comeback.
All right. James Stanley. Has Lawrence Bowers scored at least 20 points in a home opener?
I gotta get one of these right, so let's go with yeah, he has.
What do you know? You got it. He scored at least 20 points against Southern Illinois Edwardsville.
It's a 3-1 lead.
That's all right. It was a 3-0 lead before. It's not a true 3-1.
Okay. Top of the whatever.
Fifth.
That's right. Matthew Terry.
Yes, sir.
Has Ricardo Ratliff scored at least 20 points in a
home
opener?
That's a name that I don't know.
Ricardo Ratcliff.
Ratliff or Ratcliffe?
It's Ratcliffe.
Okay. It said Ratliff in sports reference. Anyways.
Really, that his name? I thought it was Ratcliffe. I'm sorry. I swallowed my tongue. Ratcliffe.
Yes or nah?
Nah. Well.
He has scored at least 20 points in a home opener.
That
James
was
James is staring me down.
That was back from the Lawrence Bowers days and Phil Pressey.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. That's the first time in my life I've heard that name.
Up next, James Stanley.
Chris
has
Mitchell.
Marcus Denman scored at least 20 points?
Oh, heavens, yes. Give me the yes on that.
That is correct.
He's got an actual good players.
All right.
He's stacking the deck.
All right. Down to the wire. What's Matthew up? Terry.
If you miss this, don't miss it. Don't miss it, Andrew Baggett. I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Okay.
Off the left, upright.
Oh, that just triggers you. That was before I was a Mizzou fan.
Send him flashbacks. All right. Has Kim English scored at least 20 points in a home opener?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yep.
So this is for the tie and all four is a tiebreaker.
Yeah. I don't know what... I think I know what I'm going to do for the tiebreaker. All right.
You don't have one planned?
I think I have one planned.
Oh, my God.
Hey, if you're gonna be communist Chris Mitchell today, you can... Give me the win because Matthew Terry's already won four.
Or I could evenly distribute half a win amongst the masses.
That would require me to actually do work in preparing an or nah, and I don't appreciate that.
Wow, you haven't prepared an or nah in 4 weeks.
I know. I mean, because I've already got one in mind for what I would do next. It's just going to be another one that James hates.
Okay.
Rigged. Unbelievably rigged.
Yep.
Okay, last question I got.
I think
I'm pronouncing this right. Montague Gil Caesar.
Who?
Montague Gil Caesar.
All right, the fact you would look up that name, you probably looked it up in like Mizzou 20 people who score 20 points or more in a home opener. So I'm going to go with yeah, he has.
I was just scrolling through sports reference for looking for and that is correct. Okay, he scored 20 points.
Overtime.
At least 20 points against UMKC.
UMKC football. Can we talk about that for a second?
UMKC what? Basketball.
UMKC football Twitter account.
Oh yeah,
hilarious.
They just play. Okay,
it's basically like a non-existent sports team that only exists in NCAA football 2014. And they have a Twitter account for it.
They beat Kansas their first week.
UMKC is not an NCAA football 14.
No, they custom made the team.
Oh, yeah.
They built it from the ground up. Anyways. Okay.
This is less than ideal.
Okay, tiebreaker question. I'm going to give the same question to both of you.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell. Okay. Okay, so Montague Gil Caesar scored at least 20 points against UNKC. Did Mizzou win that game?
It's a yes or no question. How are we going to guess closer to this?
You guys are both going to guess, and I will tell, like...
I'll go with no.
No.
I'm going to guess with no.
All right. You guys are right.
Because they lost that game, because that was the first game of the Kim Anderson era.
Okay. I think I got a tiebreaker.
All right.
I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. Who's going to guess closest?
It's not going to be that. Okay, Ricardo Ratcliffe and Marcus Denman both scored 20 points in the same home opener. What game was that for? Who'd they play?
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? Nobody's going to get this question.
How are you going to determine who's closer?
I don't... Okay.
what is this?
Okay, here are your options.
Okay.
You have... Southern Illinois, Edwardsville.
Okay.
You got UMKC. Yep. And you got Southeast Missouri State.
Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah, SEMO. Because you mentioned those other two teams earlier.
Hey, they could have played them again. You don't know.
Pick a number between 1 and 10. Just have us guess closer.
Are we just going to have to flip a coin?
All right, pick a number between 1 and 20.
It's the game that won't go away.
Are we actually? Okay. Number between 1 and 20.
All right, we got my number decided. Okay. Number between 1 and 20.
You get to choose first.
I get to choose first?
Yeah, since you're the reigning champ.
All right. I will go with 13.
I'll go with 12.
It was 17. Matthew Terry, you win!
I should have guessed because he said above 220. Like, I should have guessed that. Man.
Right is a... Yeah. Perfect. Ouch. As that
James Stanley, you ruined everything. I was so prepared for this game to be over.
That extended or nah. to go
or not extended.
Because
edition.
I can't hold a lead and I still end up winning in the end. I believe that's five straight or nah victories. Unprecedented.
Is that a record?
It has to be. I don't know.
Why not?
Ross Weber, I think, won six in a row. I think that's his
So record. I can beat Ross. I'm fine with that as we name drop more people. We're going to keep it right here for the last couple of minutes of the show.
Okay, that's fair.
So we're just going to end real quick. The statement of the week. Chris, lead us off, please.
Okay, this one's a little bit old, but it's still hitting my soul real hard. When I was a youth, I used to watch a lot of competitive Super Smash Bros. Melee, and one of my favorite players was a player named Armada. Like, I can name, like, three of my favorite sets of Super Smash Bros. Melee, and Armada would be one of the players in, like, all of them. And he retired a couple weeks ago. He's putting the GameCube controller down. Going out to the bigger and better things. So salute to Armada for being one of the pioneers of the modern Melee game. Salute, man. You rock.
Mine's have to be to the Copper Beach bus. It broke down, and it's not been repaired yet. So that is my salute out to the poor gears in the Copper Beach bus.
I'm going to keep it right here. So for my personal statement of the week. And like Chris mentioned earlier in the show, I am a big fan of professional wrestling. And this is a big weekend for pro wrestling, but not for WWE, for independent wrestling. For a company that I follow named Progress Wrestling that's based out of the UK.
Oh, I think I saw this picture.
But this weekend, on Sunday, they're running a show out of Wembley Arena that is set to be the largest independent wrestling show in the UK's history, or at least in about 20 years. This is right off the back of All In happening in Chicago, selling 10,000 seats. Battle of Los Angeles happened this month for PWG in independent wrestling. And basically, my statement of the week is that it's a very good time to be a pro wrestling fan if you find good content that's not exactly WWE. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of Progress's last 6 years that's getting to this moment, because they're going to have some great matches coming on this weekend. And in general, just a good time to be a wrestling fan. And it's something that I implore most people to do. Almost everyone should try to get into it in some way, shape, or form, because you might not know. You might enjoy it, just like I randomly started watching it in sixth grade. So as James Stanley blares music in my face again, that's how we're going to end the show today.
Wrong lever, Kronk.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another great edition of Salute Your Sports on a Wednesday afternoon. For James Stanley. For Chris Mitchell. For everyone with KCOU. Thank you, everyone. I am Matthew Terry. We'll see you again next week, folks.